I'm reading from John 14, 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Thank you, Cynthia. Now, you go sit down and relax. Father in heaven, you who have given us the way, you have given us life, and you have shown us what the truth is, may your word simply shine. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You're going to go over to your neighbor's house. You're going to have the opportunity to sit down. And she asks you, according to what you think, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? What would you say? Would you say he is the Messiah? Well, she's not really been to church. She's not been to church. She's not really schooled in what that is. You know, so you would say he is the Christ. She might be a little bit confused. Son of God. What does that mean? Well, it means she was born of the Virgin Mary, and she's going again. I don't quite understand. Can you kind of flesh that out for me a little bit? And that kind of was a dead-end street for you. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what do I say? He healed a lot of people. He rose from the dead. Who is Jesus? Sacrificed for our sins. And she goes, well, I don't really think of myself as a sinner. Well, then you got to kind of go in there, and she's been a nice neighbor your whole life, and now you've got to kind of explain to her that she is, and you're going, well, that's not going well. And then all of a sudden it dawns on you, why don't you use the descriptions that Jesus used for himself? And you start off and said, you know, this is how Jesus described himself. He said, first and foremost, using language that was understood in his day and ours, I am the bread of life. I am everything that sustains you. I am everything that you need. I am what gives you life. I am the satisfaction of your heart. I'm the bread of life. And he said, then I am light. I am what lets you understand. I am what gives you direction. I am the one that allows you to see. I am let you see what reality is. I am what gives you vision. And I'm the one that allows you, again, to live. And then you say, he had an interesting one. Then he says, I am the door. And you're thinking, well, what is that about? He says, well, I am not only the one that gives you entrance into God's kingdom. I am not only the one who gives you the opportunity to enter into God's presence. I'm also the protection as well. Because doors protect us. Every night, one of my jobs at our house is to make sure all the doors are locked. I don't always do that very well. Sometimes my wife gets up and she says, I found the front door unlocked. And I'm going, well, there you go. Then she asked me, do you know how the screen door got unlocked? And I'm saying, it's a mystery. But when I do my job, I make sure I go through the house and I make sure that all the doors and windows are shut. Because doors are protection as well. And one of the things that Jesus does is he not only gives us access, but he also gives us protection. He guards us. And then he uses this thing where we're shepherds. And we really don't have that concept of shepherds because most of us don't have more than maybe two or three animals in our house. But he is the one that leads us, and he is the one that brings us to places where we can find nourishment and refreshment. He is the one that, again, guards our lives and our spirits. He is the one that watches over us, who finds us when we are lost. This is Jesus. He is the only hope that we have. Provider, protector, guide, source of life. And Jesus said, I want you to know me not only in detail, but I want you to know me with a clarity that you don't otherwise have the opportunity to know. And what we've learned, we can share. And now Jesus said, let me open the window a little bit larger. And let me open the window just a little bit wider for you so that you can know who I am. And he said, look, I'm going to tell you who I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you're saying, man, I've heard those verses all of my life. But when I try to explain it, it gets garbled. When I try to explain it, it becomes confusing. Start with the context. You see, Jesus in chapter 14 of the book of John. Chapter 14 of the book of John is after the triumphal entry. Jesus is now in the upper room. He's had the Last Supper with his disciples. He has completely unhinged them by taking off his basic garment and after that getting down and washing the feet of the disciples. We've talked about foot washing before, kind of an embarrassing thing. I think if you took a poll of most people in the country, they would rather be the washer than the washee. Having somebody come up, and because I don't know about you, but my feet aren't really public viewing material. How many of you think you've got awesome feet? How many say, right now, let me slip the shoe and sock off and take a look at this thing? Nobody here is taking it up on that offer. You know, so somebody coming over and touching that part of us that we're not accustomed to, you know, and we all know that in those days Jesus was doing the job that they didn't even give to Hebrew slaves, it was Gentile slaves. And so he's already got them kind of unhinged. And it's been a tough week already because they started in with the acclamation of the crowd and everyone was excited to see him. They came in and everyone loved them. And then the whole relationship between Jesus and the authorities has been on a downward spiral and it's becoming increasingly antagonistic and increasingly hostile. And now they're on the night of the, just prior to Passover. They had the Passover meal and they're there and he's doing all these things and he's saying things to them. And all of a sudden, Judas Iscariot takes off for no apparent reason. And Jesus said, now the Son of God must be glorified. And God is going to glorify him. And if God is going to glorify him, God will glorify the Son in himself. My children, I will only be with you for a little bit longer. And they're all going, what's that about? You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. What's that about? And now I'm going to tell you something else, and we always stick this in. A new commandment I'm going to give you. You have to love one another. I'm not going to be with you anymore. You have to love one another just as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And they're all kind of going, okay, I don't understand, but okay. And then Simon Peter, who always seems to be the one that speaks up for everybody, he's the oldest, and he gets up and says, Lord, where are you going? Lord, where are you going? We have followed you for 3 years. We have left, you were the rabbi, we dropped everything. We dropped nets, we left boats, we left businesses, we left families. We're following you. Where are you going? And Jesus said, where I am going, you can't follow, but I will follow you later. I don't feel better. I don't understand. Where are you going? Why can't I follow you? I will lay my life down for you. And all the rest of the disciples are going, yeah, me too. We're there. A unified group. We're here for you. We're going to do this. And Jesus just sucks all the air out of the room. Will you really lay down your life for me, Peter? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows this morning, you're going to disown me 3 times. I like Peter. He's kind of ADD. Not me. I'm here. But in the background in his mind, he's going, what? What's going to happen? They are troubled. They are frightened. And they're anxious. And Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. This has been a stressful week. This is, we're agitated, anxious, wound up, bent out of shape, freaked out, panicked, and frightened. That's what it means. You ever had one of those weeks where you have been anxious, panicked, wound up, bent out of shape, and a little freaked out? Don't let your hearts be troubled. I mean, how can we not be troubled? I look around. How can you not be stressed out? How can you not have difficulties? Do you know what's going on in my world? And Jesus said, sure, I do. Don't be troubled. Here's the alternative. I want you to trust me. You trust in God. You're firm in God. You are absolutely firm in your allegiance and your dependence upon God. Now, I want you to trust me. Which seems to be a tall order, given the fact that they dropped everything and have followed him who knows where, traipsing all over the territory, going wherever he goes, doing whatever he does, often not always understanding. And he said, now I need you to trust me. I think there's a huge difference between believing someone and trusting someone. Do you remember the first time your child, your oldest child, drove with all of the family members on the freeway at 70 miles an hour? Wasn't allowed? We were in Nebraska. We were on vacation. We were either driving to or coming back from California. I can't remember which one it was. And Eric, our oldest, who was a wonderful human being, was either newly licensed or still had his learner's permit. I can't remember which. We want him to get driving hours, and so he was driving on Interstate 80. If you've been in Nebraska, Interstate 80, it is literally the last place on earth. And we've had this large Chevy conversion van, and our entire family is in the large Chevy conversion van, and it dawns on us in the midst of all these semis, my son, who's experienced at driving, who I believed in, could wipe us out at any moment. One bad twitch and we're done for. I believed in him, I just didn't trust him. My wife, Susie, believed in him. She didn't trust him either. We then shortly changed drivers. And it wasn't as if he was being erratic. It was just we were surrounded by large trucks going faster than he was. And he was going 70, 75 miles an hour. And we had the entire family. And we thought, no one will survive. I didn't trust him. I did not trust him. Do we trust Jesus? Where are you going? And Jesus kind of gives us a little clue. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. And we're going, like that. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back to take you to be with me. And you know, we're all thinking, I love that language, but that's wedding language. That's the wedding language of Jesus' day. Now, wedding language is something we understand. Wedding language is something that we can kind of connect with. Did you know that in the United States every year, there are between about 2,300,000 weddings. 2,300,000 weddings. And the average wedding cost in the United States is, take a deep breath for teenage mom, teenage daughters, $20,000. On average, the wedding industry is a $72 billion enterprise. If you think marriages are out in the United States, follow the cash. Much different in the day of Jesus. The father of the bride and the father of the groom get together and they make an arrangement, often early in the time. But the groom comes by, they make the arrangement. It's all negotiated out, two cows and a goat. They get together, they have a drink, and then the son, they are engaged. And the son comes back, especially in the Galilean era. And he goes back into what's called the insula, I-N-S-U-L-A, insula. And that's sort of the family complex. And in that family complex, grandma and grandpa started it. Mom and dad are there, all the aunts and uncles that everyone has built a room on. When they get married, the husband's job is to go back to the family complex and build the room. And as long as it takes him to build the room, that's how long their engagement period is. Now, he wants to go fast, but dad knows they've got to live there. So they tend to go slow. And so when Jesus is saying, I go back to prepare a place for you, everyone's going, I know what that is. I know what that is. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it's going to take as long as it takes. And when I am done, I'm going to come back to you. And that's when they would blow the shofars, those big ram's horns, and they get there, and all the friends would be there, and the bride would be all ready. She would be ready for weeks, if not months, ahead of time. Everything would be packed, everything would be there, and at the moment's notice, she would be ready to go. And he would take her to come back home, and the wedding would be complete. And then they'd have 7 days of partying. But I want you to go where I am, you may be also. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. What does that mean? I'm going to go die. I am going to be buried. I'm going to raise from the dead. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back for you. I promise. Do you trust me? On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, do you trust me? He asked his disciples. Because tomorrow is going to be horrendous. Tomorrow's going to be the worst day of your entire experience with me, maybe your entire life. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? You know the way to where I am going. I'm going to the Father. You have watched, you have listened, you have walked with me. You know where I am going. Thomas, I don't know why Thomas gets stuck in this role. Thomas, who's named the twin, he is sort of the thick one. He doesn't quite grab a hold of everything. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't have a clue where you're going. But he's speaking for the group, and they're all going, I don't know. We have no idea. How can we know the way? I don't know where you're going. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know where you're going. After 3 years of following, we left everything to follow you. Now you're saying you're going someplace, and I can't get past that point. We don't have a clue. And Jesus says to Thomas, and we always say these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by. We say that over and over again. We kind of have that memorized. We really don't know what it means. I am your way. You can't MapQuest it. You can't go to AAA. You can't look it up in an atlas. I am your way. Your relationship with me. Your faith, your trust, your dependence, your absolute devotion, your willingness to go and do whatever it is, your willingness to stand with me through the next 3 days, I am your way. I am also the truth, the only reality, the only strength, the only abundance that you have. I am your truth, the unchanging, accurate, right way. I am your way, and I lead you to life. Not physical life, limited. Eternal life, abundant life, life as God had designed it and life as Jesus knows it can be, I'm going to give you life. You have to follow me. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to go to the destination? The destination has been and always will be in God's presence in his kingdom. You have to trust me. I am your way. I give you the truth to understand. I give you the life in which to live it. I am your way. Do you trust me? If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. And he's almost saying it. He's not saying it to Thomas anymore. He's saying it to everybody. Don't you know me? If you really knew me, you'd already be aware of this. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you're going to know the Father just as you've known me, which is a remarkable thing because almost no one in the Old Testament said, I really know God. They knew his law. They knew some of his characteristics, and he was a little bit capricious, and they didn't always understand. They were normally discouraged, but Jesus said, you can know him. If you know me, you know the Father. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And Philip stands up. Philip says, look, show us the Father. That's enough. That will be enough for us. What's wrong with that statement? The only person who had ever seen anybody, any part of God was who? It was Moses. And he only saw his back. The rule was, you see the face of God and you die. You see the face of God, you die. Philip goes, show us God, we're good. Philip, don't you know me? We've been together for 3 years. Don't you know me? I have been with you for 3 years. After such a long time, haven't you been listening? Haven't you been watching? Haven't you been following? Haven't you been paying attention? Do you hear what I said? Do you believe what I said? Philip, do you trust me? Do you trust me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came down and became flesh and blood and lived in our neighborhood. John chapter 1. Do you believe this? Do you trust this? John, I've been with you. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am God incarnate. I am God made flesh. You ought to know that by now. Don't you believe, he says in verse number 10, don't you believe? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Don't you believe the relationship I have with him is so unique and so close that we almost become one? Don't you believe? Don't you know? There's a unity between God, between the Father, and between Jesus that almost escapes us. There is a connection that's available to us, but we just do not understand. I'm not speaking for myself. Verse number 10. The words I say to you are not just my own. It's rather the Father living in me who is doing his work. I don't do this on my own. All the authority, all the power, all the words, everything comes from my Father through the Holy Spirit. Don't you understand our connection? Don't you understand the union that we have? How it all flows together. Don't you get it by now? I'm not on my own. I am here with what the Father is. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. At least pay attention to what's going on. Because if you trust me, I tell you the truth. If you trust me and believe me, that authority, presence, and power is now yours, and you're going to need it. One of the things I think happens in the church is that we have so much available to us that we never tap into. We have the ability to transform communities. Again, I talk about the number of people in Traverse City. Yeah, there's about 80,000 people who live in Traverse City. And so the number of people who come on a bit is about 60,000 to 65,000 have no interest in Jesus Christ or the church. But that means there's 15,000 to 20,000 of us who do. That's got to be a tipping point someplace. That's got to be a tipping point someplace. And most of the churches in which we are impressed with in Traverse City, most of the churches that we deal with have to do with proximity and size. We like Westside. We like Bay Point. We like Faith Reform. Why? Because they're big. Is there any church that you know of that's transforming its community? Is there any church that you and I are aware of that is so tapped into the presence and the authority of Jesus Christ that they are doing things that, that with regularity change lives? I'm not aware of one. Look what Jesus says. Believe me when I am saying, I'm in the Father is in me, because if anyone trusts me, he will do what I am doing. In fact, he's going to do more than I have been doing. Because I'm going to the Father, and the Father is going to do whatever you ask in my name. If you trust me and you do it in my cause, my spirit, my heart, and my name, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Wouldn't it be awesome if we needed another 100 churches just to deal with the capacity of people who came to Christ in the Grand Traverse area? Why doesn't it happen? Maybe we don't trust enough in what Jesus has given to us. Maybe our trust wavers, fades, anemic. Do you trust me? You ask for it. Ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Do you trust me? Critical question. This morning, West Bay, do you trust Jesus? Do we trust him together? Are we willing to do whatever he asks, however he asks, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence, are we willing to simply say, okay? Because Jesus said, you have to know me. I'm the way to the kingdom. I am the way to everything you have ever wanted to be. I am the way. I show you the truth, and I will give you the life if you trust me. That's the key. Oh, I can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I can believe that he died. I can believe that he was risen from the grave. I can believe that he ascended into heaven. I believe that he is going to rule everything. But on October 17th, 2010, do I trust him? Do I trust him? Great question, isn't it? How are we going to answer? Father, I ask that you would help us trust you. Father, I ask that you would give us such an unwavering trust in Jesus Christ that we would, without hesitation or regard of anything, simply do what he asks. Father, give us the ability to see and know your word in a way that allows us to jump whenever Jesus calls. We pray this in his name, who is the author and perfecter of our lives. Amen. Please stand.
He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we're going to sing Blind Man to send us out for the week.